Okay, well, this morning we're going to start in a kind of really neat section where we start talking about the flesh and the spirit. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I kind of like to go back and just look a little bit at some of the previous verses. And if you look at chapter 5 of Galatians, you know, we started back actually, and I got the privilege of covering it back. It's been maybe a month or so ago now. In verse 1, it says, of Galatians 5, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." So then we kind of went through a whole bunch of different things that might cause the believer to, the Galatian believer, to have issues, to not be standing firm. And then and actually got down to verse 13 recently, and verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So that was actually in this chapter, the first time the flesh was mentioned. It has been mentioned earlier in Galatians, but so it's kind of a warning to the Galatian believers: don't let the flesh impact you, basically, and rob your freedom, if you will. So now we're going to kind of get into these two verses are going to talk a lot about the flesh and the spirit and their interaction and how ultimately God has provided the victory for us. But we still have the flesh. It's still around. It's still a thing to be dealt with. And that's sort of the what we'll be seeing here. And then it's going to kind of continue on. We're going to continue on with the flesh and the spirit and the fruits of the spirit and so on in the coming weeks. So the verses say, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Okay, so so we're just going to kind of go through this kind of piece by piece. The first verse, you know, Paul's speaking here, and basically you is kind of imply you walk by the Spirit, and actually it's a command, the present tense, so he's basically telling the Galatian believers and us as well that we're to walk by the Spirit. So because it's present tense, it's literally a continuous action. That's not to be just, you know, well, I'll occasionally walk by the Spirit when I go to church, when I feel like it, when I read my Bible, I'll walk by the Spirit. This is to be a mindset. This is the way the Christian life is lived, not just when I feel particularly inclined, so to speak. And the word walk is this word peripateo, and it's basically the word that's used to walk about or to, and in this context, in many contexts in Scripture, it's actually to live, to interact, to live your life. Walk is kind of a figurative word for conduct, and other words. So actually, and that's what the couple of verses I have here. Can I get someone to read Colossians chapter 4? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. And this is another translation of the same word, peripateo.
"That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time." Is that what you want?
Okay, actually, let me just I think I lost my place. I'll be fine. Okay, let me see. Colossians 4, 5. And it may be a bit upon the translation. So you have, read your version again.
"Walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time."
Okay. Does someone else have a different translation than that?
You said Colossians 4 5, right?
Colossians 4 5, yes.
"Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity."
Okay. I'm looking at it.
"And conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity."
Okay. Well, three translations. We got the one I wanted. Okay, yes. Okay, I was looking for another translation now. this word. And actually, Roy had walk. I mean, exactly. So it could be translated walk, but it's conduct. Mine has conduct yourself. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that this is how you interact. This is how you, you know, and I think as Gail was saying, she's in her little adventure on during the week. She was conducting herself, looking to the Lord. Even though maybe the little cloud might have been sneaking around the corner there, but she was, you know, talking to the Lord about, hey, this is, you know, so that's what walk in this context is about.
So Roger,
yeah, go ahead.
Do we walk on Monday by the NIV and on Tuesday by the NAS?
Well, I guess I would propose that you call it walk, conduct, whatever you want to call it. It's your interaction with the Lord. That's right. I'll take a different translation each week. That's good.
Probably if we just do it.
Yeah. Right. And I have another one in 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, someone could read that one. We'll see what we have, how many different varieties we have in this one. 2 Thess, 3:11. And yeah, may I have Lonnie read it, because I know what her translation will be. I'm gonna stack the deck here.
There you go. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies.
Okay. So, what word do you think is walk here, or peripateo? Just from what she read.
Whatever it was among you.
Yeah. Well, what does yours say, Roy?
We hear that there are some who walk among you
right.
Disorderly.
Well, your translation nails it every time. Well, that's really good. Okay. Actually, New American Standard has leading. You are leading an undisciplined life, or walk. So leading, walking, this is how you conduct your life. This is what you do. And in this case, they're it's undisciplined, but I'm trying to capture the idea of walking in the Spirit. Okay, so now we come, basically, you could translate this by the Spirit, literally by means of the Spirit. And actually, we have a couple of verses on that. And if you go back to Galatians, there's actually kind of a parallel verse in Galatians here, to this verse 16, which kind of talks about this walking, and it's Galatians 5:5. And Roy, why don't you read? I'd be curious to see what yours says here. Galatians 5:5.
Mm-hmm. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith.
Okay. So basically here, it says, we through the Spirit. So, I think it's kind of, and actually, the Wiest has this, he renders this, as for us, through the agency of the Spirit, on the grounds of faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. So, you know, it's through the Spirit, by means of the Spirit. The Christian life is not us, giving our best efforts, as Vern would say many times. It's not our best effort, it's through the Holy Spirit, focused on Christ, is a Christian life. By means of the Spirit. And lastly here, this is Wiest, he says, through the instrumentality of the Spirit, habitually order your manner of life. So this is to be the habit of the Christian life, walking by the Spirit. And what's wonderful is, by doing that, it's going to guarantee some things. And that's the last part of the verse here. It's going to guarantee some things will be true of your life, which are wonderful. Because, you know, we've spent a lot of time looking at how the Galatians got caught up in the law. And it seems like they said, well, if I'm really good at obeying the law, I'm going to really be able to control my flesh. And Paul says, no, that's not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is by walking in the Spirit. Okay, so now, next part of the verse, and you will not carry out, I kind of have it chunked up here, not carry out, and this is a double negative, and actually, you know, I was a little bit, you know, I was really excited, you know, I don't know, I get excited about small things here, but, you know, little words and what the definitions and stuff, and, oh, a double negative, wow. So I spent some time, and actually it's can be rendered certainly not or will never fulfill. And then actually I found, but through it took me a little bit to search, I had to search in Greek, which I'm, you know, a little bit, well, it's harder. I mean, it's nice to search in English or numbers. I mean, I can, English and numbers I can do pretty well with. Greek, so umi I had to search for, and you can do that in these Bible helps, but it's a little bit harder. So I was able to come across at least these three verses, which have the double negative. And then I go, and I say, oh, I'm all excited, and I go and look in the English, and the English is just, you know, it's just not, they didn't, the real impact isn't there. I wanted to see, like, I want to see the double negative. You know, you will never, never. Or you will certainly not. And this didn't have as much. So let's look at those couple of cases here. And where I'm leading here, and why this is significant. You know, well, Roger just likes all these little nuances here. It's gonna say it's impossible if you're walking in the Spirit to carry out the desires of the flesh. It's going to be, that's a wonderful thing. So that's why the double negative is I think it's really cool. So let's just look at the Thessalonians passage for right now. 1 Thess chapter 4. Let's look at that first. And can I get someone to read verse 4:15?
For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord. We who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep.
Okay, good. Okay. Now I'm actually confusing myself here a little bit too, let me see. Okay. Okay, actually it's kind of not, and that's why it's, I was a little bit disappointed. It's actually toward the end there, it says, and shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Shall not proceed is actually much stronger than that. It's the double negative. It's guaranteed, you know, it's a guarantee. God has an order in the resurrection. And actually it could be rendered, shall by no means. In fact, I look at what Wiesta, he has, shall by no means. Or you could put, shall definitely not. It's a much strong, shall not seems kind of mild. But it's actually this double negative here. And then actually over in chapter 5, in verse 3 it says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child. And they shall not, there's a double negative, shall not escape. And basically they shall never, never escape. So it's, like I said, I was a little disappointed that in the English it didn't come across as strongly. I was looking for a much stronger, because this is really wonderful news that the desires of the flesh, as we walk by the Spirit, are held at bay. They shall not, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, so, and carry out is this idea to bring to an end, or to accomplishment. And we have a couple of verses for that. But let me just kind of, and let's just go ahead and hear and, get the full impact. And you will never, never accomplish or carry out, and actually this idea of carrying out is interesting here. He's not saying you're not going to have desire. You know, desires won't come to you. Think about your Christian life. You know, you're going along and something happens to me. I mean, I'm driving in the street and somebody just does something really crazy, just some, you know, on the road. And what happens? You know, that's a temptation, right? So I have a desire of the flesh. My desire of the flesh may be to go up real fast and tell this guy he's crazy. You know, why is he doing that? That's, you know. So he's not saying there won't be desires, but he says, as I walk by the Spirit, I won't carry out the desire of the flesh. I'll say, oh, Roger, wait a minute. You know, it's okay, Lord. I'm safe. I didn't get hurt. Thank you, Lord. I'll just drive on. And I won't do crazy things. I won't, you know. There are hundreds of situations like that where we're carrying out or walking our Christian life and things happen. And this is saying, as you walk in the Spirit, that desire may come to you, but it says, as you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry it out. You won't carry it to completion. And if you look later on, we're going to see here that he'll list the deeds of the flesh. Yeah, I'm saying it's desires to deeds. You know, the desire is maybe there, but when the deed happens, that's when sin occurs. But
yeah, the world says Let your conscience be your guide.
Right, that's a good
okay.
one. Okay.
It's an absolutely incorrect use. Think of what they're really trying to say and don't say it. But the Spirit be your guide.
Right. That, I like
in
that.
Other words,
I like that, but let your Spirit be your guide.
We don't have to juggle this around. That's what it says clearly there, mm-hmm. that the Spirit should be your guide.
Right. So this is wonderful news. And these couple of verses here, we don't have to look at them. Basically, they just kind of implicate the fact that it's a performance of the desire that he's pointing out. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out or perform the desire of the flesh. The desire of the flesh may be all kinds of, you know, some are mild, and some are terrible. You know, but they're all sin. Go ahead.
Well, so what you're talking about then, as far as sanctification by the Spirit,
right.
means the cleaning of the heart. Because Jesus said it's not what goes into a man mm-hmm. that defiles him, but what comes out of him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because that comes from his heart. So since you're talking about the guy who cuts in front of you, which I've never been able to clean that part of my heart, it's not a matter of can't, but it's a matter of won't. Because, you know, you still can do this.
Oh, yeah.
You can still sin, and you still do all these
and,
things.
And we still do that. We still.
And it's because of your heart. But through the process of the sanctification of the Spirit, as he cleans your heart, you're less capable conscience-wise, like Bud said, to not only want not to do these things, but not actually do them. So it's the slow process of changing want to, you really can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the conscience,
yeah.
right?
Well,
so it's a heart. It's a heart matter.
It's a heart issue. But think of this. You know, this is where the wonderful view of Scripture, looking at our who we are, our position, and how we conduct our lives. Position, condition, as we say a lot here. Positionally, the Lord says you already are separated for that sinful nature. So He wants us to look at our position. When this comes along, that car cuts you off, you say, why in the world would I want to go and do something really crazy and cut that guy off because he cut me off? Why would I want to do that? Lord, I don't have to respond to that desire from my sinful nature. I don't have to. I could, but I don't have to.
Especially if you have a fish on the back of your car.
Right, exactly. And that's another thing to think about, too. You think about, well, Lord, is this going to glorify you? So this process is going on in your mind, right? And it happens really fast. I mean, this is not... It happens just really quick. Because, you know, I find I'm very quick at putting somebody down verbally if I think I'm right. Because, well, obviously I'm right. I got to tell everybody I'm right so I can tell them real quickly, not slowly. So, anyway. But I think looking back to who you are, your position is what it's all about. Walking in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? It's saying, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm dead to that. I mean, I've been separated from my sin nature. It's still there. It still can. I can still have that desire to do things, but I look to my position. I look to who I am in Christ, and then I won't carry out that desire to cut that guy off, or worse. or worse of other things. You might be talking with a friend, or whatever. You might offend somebody verbally. Or what it might ever might be.
Roger?
Sure.
The thing about that, we as Christians, and born again, and know the Lord, I really honestly believe, and I keep bringing right. this old tired scripture up,
uh-huh.
that we all know Passover.
Uh-huh.
We are all, even as, I don't care how dedicated as Christians,
right.
all sin and
Absolutely.
Come short of the glory of God.
Absolutely.
And that's why we're told that we have an advocate with the Father mm-hmm. in heaven. And a lot of times we'll use that as the escape hatch before we, mm-hmm. we make our move and let that be the escape. That's
mm-hmm.
the idea is that the Holy Spirit can guide us not to do that, but we let Him do it, but we do sin, but Christ doesn't quit forgiving us because
right.
of that.
Absolutely.
We're
absolutely.
Ratified that
right.
if we confess
yeah.
our sin.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's stretching the scripture too far.
No. That's absolutely right. But I think what's wonderful about this is the Lord wants to be proactive here. You see what I'm saying? if I do cut the guy off, my example I keep using here, then I've sinned, right? I've not represented who Christ is. I've gone contrary to who I am. But if I realize what is the dynamics of what's going on, and I say, Lord, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to follow that desire of the flesh. I see it's a desire of the flesh. I had an occasion where I was overseas for 5 years in England. It was a wonderful time, and we came back to Buckley Air Force Base. And I had a driver's license that said expired on the front side, but in Colorado you can go and I was overseas, I could get extended. So on the front it said it was expired. So I drive up there, and the guy says, your driver's license is expired. You can't come on this base. So, you know, the wheels are turning. I know I'm okay because on the back side it says extended to whatever. So Lord, and I said, sir, would you please look at the backside? He turns it over and says, oh, okay, you're welcome to come in. Now, I could have responded, well, wait a minute, you know, I just go, you know, on a rampage. And that went through my mind. And I said, Lord, I don't have to do that. I don't know, that's me talking. Maybe you guys can identify with hundreds of situations where that happens. And hundreds of times I don't do that, unfortunately. I respond from the flesh. So anyway. And we're going to see, that's the next verse we're going to see here. So we're, okay. Okay, so now, we're going to desire the flesh. And this word desire is epithumia. And actually we're going to see it twice. This is a noun form. So we're going to see this in the noun form, and then we're going to see it in action, so to speak, in the verb form. So it's a desire, a craving, a longing, mostly of evil things, frequently translated lust. And let's look at James here. James chapter 1. Get someone to read James chapter 1, verses, actually let's read 13 through 15.
James 1 and how much?
13 through 15.
13 through 15?
13 through 15, yes.
All right. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Okay, great, bud. Thank you. So, you know, this is a wonderful verse. This is just, you know, verses, I should say. But it really kind of shows us this temptation process that I was kind of talking about in a way. It shows us that that we're being tempted. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, just like the example I've been using here, and put your own example in there. But basically at that point, he hasn't sinned. But you go down to verse 15. But when lust has conceived, so the byproduct of lust is a birth. It gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And, you know, death here, and, you know, what's the definition for death, right? Separation. So we have sinned, like, but we have sinned, we've broken fellowship with the Lord, and we need to do first, we need to confess our sins, to recognize that was sin, and call sin, sin. So this is, you know, kind of shows the dynamics of the desire of the flesh. And flesh is this word, sarx, implies, you know, in scripture, the word, flesh is used sometimes just for our physical body. It's used for that. It's used for a variety of different things, but many times, especially in Paul's epistles, it's used for the sinful nature. And there are several verses that talk about that. Well, actually, let's look at one of those. Let's look at Romans 7:18. That'll just give us one on that one. Romans 7:18. And can I get someone to read that?
For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not.
All right, great, thank you. So basically, I think that refers to the sinful nature within us that we've been talking about. Okay, So that's verse 16. So basically, he stated the premise, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Or stronger, you will never, never carry out the desire of the flesh if you walk by the Spirit. So now we're going to get into the what's been called the battle scene here.
Roger, when it says never, never, it sounds like it's a permanent thing. But it isn't really. It's just when you're walking in the Spirit, right?
Right.
It sounds like that's you'll never, never, ever again.
Oh, right? I see your point.
Yeah, it just sounds like that, but it means.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they translate certainly not. If I walk in the Spirit, you will certainly not.
But it's moment by moment. I mean, if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't.
Right.
Certainly won't.
Right.
But if you're in the flesh, you will. So, I mean, I'm just saying it sounded like you'll never again, just the way it said, certainly not ever.
Okay.
I'm just saying the way it sounds.
That's a good point. I had not thought of it that way.
Yeah.
What Bonnie's saying makes provision for John 1:9.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying, if it's never, never, and it's never, ever going to happen, then you don't need John 1:9 because you're always going to be doing John 1:5, which means that you're going to be walking in the Spirit and pleasing God all the time.
Right, right.
So if you're in 1:5, you don't need 1:9, right?
Okay.
But we have this struggle with the flesh.
And we're not, this is the next word.
And I shouldn't bring this up, always been taught that two negatives are a positive, so that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right, right. And that's true, but that's English. That's English. Well, actually, what's really cool, there's a passage in Hebrew which has, I think, four negatives, which is just really, I really get excited about that. That's another day. That's another day. Anyway, that's a good thought, and actually I had not thought of that kind of that thinking, but let's see. Well, let me see if I can sort of answer. Let me just go back for a second. But I say walk by the Spirit. Well, first of all, Paul's not just saying that. This is just not a casual thing. Oh, by the way, when you guys go out there and just walk by the Spirit, it's a command. He's saying, I want you to walk by the Spirit. I mean, it's not just a casual reminder. That's to be your conduct of your life. And so it's kind of implied that you're going to have that there's an issue with walking by the Spirit. And this all these desires coming at you. That's kind of the background, if you will. There are desires coming at you. We were reading in James there. There are desires coming at you. And walking by the Spirit is the solution to these desires controlling your life. Anyway, that's some good thoughts there, guys. Okay, so now, we get to the battle scene here. Okay. So the first part of this verse is, for the flesh, and that's the subject, the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. And sets its desires is the verb form of the same word we had before, and it's lust. And basically it's, in the verb form, it's virtually the same definition, to fix desire upon, whether good or bad. And actually, it's kind of interesting to see there are good desires and good lust, if you will. And that's kind of important to see. So let's look at a couple of those. So the first one is going to be the good. So 1 Timothy 3:1. So this is lust used in a good sense. You can have lust. You can have a good desire, which is probably not pretty obvious, right? I mean, you desire to please the Lord. That's a good desire. 1 Timothy 3:1.
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of the bishop, what did you say? What verse?
Yeah, it's right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Keep reading.
Okay, I'll read that again. Okay, I'll try again to get it right.
You're fine.
This is a true saying.
Uh-huh.
If a man desire the office of a bishop,
uh-huh,
he desires a good work.
Right. Okay. So this is my word here. This is the word lust, uh-huh, but in a good sense, right? It's actually twice in there. I think aspire. I have, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, in my translation, it is a fine work he desires to do. So there's a desire. You desire to serve the Lord. This is an elder, something like that, a deacon maybe, who desires to serve the Lord, and Scripture says, Paul says, Timothy says, that's a great, that's a wonderful desire. Okay, so that's that's this word used in a good sense. Now in James, let's look at James 4. James 4 and verse 2.
Roger, don't you think that when you have a double negative like that, it's similar to when Paul said to the Pharisees, heaven forbid? Isn't that kind of the same thought? When they said that, why don't we sin more because we just get more grace? And Paul's answer was, heaven forbid. I mean, it's not a double negative, I don't think.
Right, I don't
but
think
it's kind of the same thought. Why would you think that? I mean, that should never happen.
Right.
And you know, it's emphasis.
It's emphasis on excluding the other part of the action, right?
Right.
He says, you're walking by the Spirit. It's not going to happen. You're not going to fulfill the desire of the flesh. It's not going to happen. As you walk with the Lord, you won't fulfill the desire of the flesh. So that's a good thought. Is anybody at James 4, 2? James
4. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is a negative. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. This is pretty bad. You are envious and cannot obtain. So this is a negative form of that. So in this context here, the flesh sets its desire, a lust against the Spirit. So that's part A. And against is the root, and this is kind of cool. The root meaning of this word is kata. Root meaning is down. It's the idea of suppression. So the flesh, and this is hard to believe. It's hard to believe that in a sense we do this. We desire, I think we want, let's take our point of cutting somebody off. I keep hammering that again. I'm actually saying, when I do that as a believer, I'm saying, Lord, I know what you said about me, who I am in Christ. But I don't care. That person has so offended me, I have to make my point. I don't care what you said, Lord. So you basically, you lust against the very Holy Spirit of God. You say, no, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyway. And unfortunately, we all go there. We all do that. And so that's the battleground. So you have the flesh lusting or setting its desires against the Spirit, regardless of what the truth he knows, the truth the believer knows. He says, I don't care. Okay, so that's one part of the battleground. Go ahead.
Is that a permanent state? Is that what the flesh always does? It sets its desire against the Spirit? I mean, I think in the garden, you know, that I would be as God, isn't that part of the fallen nature?
I can't see the flesh getting any better. I think you're right. And it may be more subtle and more kinder, or, you know, well, Lord, hey, I just a little bit better than you do, but, you know, I can really handle this okay. It's not trusting, you know, I don't mean to pick on you, Gail, but I mean, it's not trusting the Lord, maybe in situations where you're afraid. I mean, we all do that. We all say, well, you know, I'm afraid, and, you know, or whatever it might be. So, I think you're right. The flesh is the flesh. It's not going to improve.
Well, like Stan was saying, it's almost like an oxymoron, you know, if you're in the Spirit, the flesh is inoperative.
Right.
If you're in the flesh, the Spirit can operate.
And that's wonderful. And that's wonderful. And we're going to see, you know, our brother Hal many years ago. I just love his picture. And they're not. If one is in force, the other one is at bay. Is held inoperative. Okay.
And I don't know if I can say this appropriately or not. To me, it has to do with the fact that each and every human being is autonomous, and that has something to do with having self-will. But our identity is to take care of ourselves. And primarily we do that because we feed ourselves and we care for ourselves. And those are desires of the flesh that actually keep us alive.
Exactly. Those are, I would say,
so,
those are good desires.
And it's allowing us to function so that we can stay alive and healthy and all the other things. But on the same hand, that same desire can rear its ugly head and say that I'm totally independent. I don't have to depend on anybody else. I don't need anybody else, particularly God.
Right.
I don't need the person living next to me. I don't need my neighbor. I don't need any of these things because I can take care of all these things myself with a great big capital I.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's the nature.
Mm-hmm. That's our
so
fault.
It can be good,
exactly.
Which is Ghana, which yeah, you're saying, right. And it can be bad.
Right.
But it's always I-directed.
Right, and it's always, you could probably make it, it's always contrary to what, contrary to God.
Well, it's not spirit-directed at all.
No, and that's basically, it's not, you know, it's against the spirit of God.
But aren't those two different kind of flesh, though? One is your physical body, and the other is the sin nature. So, right?
I mean, yeah, okay, you're talking about to preserve your flesh?
No, I'm just saying, he said sometimes it can be good, but aren't we, that's just your physical body. When this flesh is like the sin nature, isn't it?
Oh, well, okay, well, I thought you were talking about the desire, the lust, right? The flesh? The flesh is the flesh. Man, I'm getting myself confused here. I'm getting confused here.
But that's interesting. I think, but it's still one desire. I mean, we still desire to take care of ourselves with a capital
right.
I.
Right.
And that old saying about, is the I in him or is it, you know, standing alone and it's, you know, me? And our I should be in him.
Right.
But I think this desire that we have, even this sin nature, it seems like it comes from the heart.
Well,
and that's what drives us, you know. And the Spirit is sanctifying us, setting aside, cleaning our heart, you know. In Psalms, it says, Lord, I desire a clean heart, you know.
Well, the thing about this, I mean, this is, you know, Christianity 101. we've been born again, right? We have a birth from Adam. We have a birth from Christ. So, and we have both those two are operating in us at the same time. So the question is, and the Lord, you know, we have a, by faith, we can be in either of those places. We can, by faith, you know, put our faith in our flesh, or by faith in the Lord. So it's, and that's operative all the time. And we're either one or the other. That's one of the other kind of, you know, we're either operating from our flesh or from the Spirit through the Lord. Okay. All right. So here's the flip side. The Spirit, lust, and that's an implied verb from the first part of the sentence. Lust against the flesh. So, you know, so the idea here is that the Spirit desires to suppress the flesh in our lives, and that's wonderful news. I mean, and the flip side of that. That, as we saw, sadly, our flesh desires to suppress the Spirit. So we got this conflict. They're we got this two operations going. The flesh wants to suppress the Spirit of God, and the Spirit wants to suppress the flesh. And this is wonderful news because this is where we want to be. We want to have the flesh being suppressed in our lives. And what's interesting is the rest of the verse is going to tell us this is not a trivial battle. This is not just, well, okay, I'll resolve to be a little bit more firm this next. I'll be a little bit firmer with that old sinful nature. I'll just be a little bit harder on it, and it'll just get into line here. I'll get a few more things to write. You know, this is a battle only the Lord can win through us. It's the Spirit of God in our lives. Because the last part of the verse is going to tell us that this is it's beyond our control in a sense.
But Roger, the good thing is that's happening. But the bad thing is that we can see and touch the flesh, but we can't see and touch the Spirit. So it comes down to, do you really believe what you believe? And are you actually going to follow what you believe?
Well,
see, because we can touch this flesh.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that. I know it's real.
Right.
But it's dealing with that, you know, in my mind and in my heart, dealing with something like it says in Hebrews 11:1, mm-hmm. when it defines, you know, truth or mm-hmm. what is it, reality or whatever
right,
that verse,
right.
faith.
Yeah,
it's faith. Okay. Oh. And so it comes down to faith again because
right. Well, it's faith, and actually it's faith in either way. Well, I think Bonnie, you know, kind of pointing out that the flesh you feel here. That's one kind of flesh, but this flesh is referring to the sinful nature, which you can't really touch. You can't.
So you think there's two different kinds?
Oh no, I'm sure that scripture supports that. There's talking about our fleshly body, and then if you want, I can give you some verses. There's verses about our fleshly body, and then there are verses about what's called the immaterial part of us, which is our sinful nature, and that's called flesh too. And that's about. It's two immaterial parts. We can't touch either. I can't touch my sinful nature. I can certainly see the results of it, but I can't touch it. I certainly can see the results of the Spirit of God working my life. I can see both of those. Well, That's an immaterial battle within our mind, what's going on.
Roger.
Yeah.
We touched on this when we said it is by faith that we walk.
Right.
It's also by faith that we walk by the flesh. We're actually trusting that.
I know. Isn't that sad? I mean, that kind of jars you. I mean, and I realize I do that. I realize, like I was kind of saying, that I say to myself, you know, Lord, it's more important to me to prove myself to this driver that he was crazy when he's riding there than it is to trust you. I'm putting my faith in myself to do that crazy thing. So.
Well, and like he's saying too, you know, it goes back to the object, right? The object of your faith.
Right.
And that's why we are in Galatians here,
right,
getting this command based on what he's
right.
brought us to.
Exactly. Through all this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
Roger.
Sure.
Just
sure.
thinking that it
sure.
seems to me like the sinful nature wants its rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that if
mm-hmm.
somebody cuts me off, my immediate response is, you're not going to treat me that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
And do the same thing back.
Yes.
And I think that, it, like you said earlier, happens so fast that we either give in or we, you know, let the Spirit
right.
suppress that expression
mm-hmm.
of our sinful nature. And it just like that.
I know.
It's one or the other. It's amazing.
And it also depends on the degree of your fatigue for that day. No, I'm serious.
Oh, no, I don't know. The
situation that you're in.
I know.
How high your emotions are in that
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
How, you know, your mental condition.
Yeah, there's so many. There's, well, yeah.
I mean, that's all.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, at the end of the day, when you've just been, imagine you had, you know, I thought we were talking about cruising. I'm going to tell the subject here, but I wouldn't mind being a cruise director on a cruise line. And I said, Bonnie, then you have to deal with all those passengers and they'd be awful and it wouldn't be any fun anymore. Cruising wouldn't be any fun anymore. It would be dealing with all these people and it would just be...
Yeah, I decided I'd rather be a passenger.
So, I agree with you.
You throw them overboard.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the ultimate.
Yeah, that might be your sinful nature, really.
That goes back to murder, right?
Yeah. Okay, all right. So quickly, here's the two things that make it really saying, Lord, I have to trust you. This is an operation of faith. It says these are in opposition to one another, the flesh and the spirit. And it's the opposition of the idea that, excuse me, it's like an enemy. And there's some verses here that talk about your opponent. In the Philippians passage, it talks about your opponent. And in the Corinthians passage, it talks about you have many adversaries. So this is an adversarial relationship. The flesh and the spirit are adversaries. They're banging heads with one another, in a sense. And basically that results in so that you may not do the things that you please. Your overall desire is to please the Lord. But moment by moment, this battle is there. It's played out in real time. You know, it's like, you know, the computer kind of, real time is happening. Moment by moment, you're interacting with the world, with your family, with everybody, and you can walk by the Spirit, or you can walk by the flesh. Moment by moment. One glorifies God, one does not glorify God. Let me see here. I may not do the, okay. So basically, I kind of wrote at the end here, the desire may be to live the Christian life, but only as we walk by means of the Spirit can we have victory over the flesh. So Paul is telling us that this is a battle. It's not a trivial matter. Only the Spirit of God, as we walk by faith in Him, is able to give us victory over our sinful nature, because it's still there. And actually, I looked at Macaulay. Chester Macaulay had like five observations. I'd like to just read them to you, and I'd like to show you Hal's picture here at the end here. Basically, and it's something that maybe we've kind of talked about already, and speaking about this war between the flesh and the spirit, he says, there are two separate entities inside every Christian. He doesn't, and he elaborates more, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit are total opposites. That's not that's obviously very true. The flesh and the spirit carry out active warfare continually. The flesh and the spirit do not share control in the believer's life. So we're either being controlled by one or the other. And then lastly, our actions are the result of which is controlling us at any given moment.
That's right.
So I think that's who's controlling me?
Adam's in there sometimes, but how you can put it any other way.
Right. He's there but it's important that the Lord wants us to see that this battle is going on. I think as we realize that, that's helped me, because it allows me sometimes in that instant, I'll step back and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Sure.
I'm going to prove myself. What does that mean in terms of eternity? I'm going to prove that I'm better than this driver. I'm a better driver, or I'm right. Being right is, you know, as an engineer, you have to be right. You never can be wrong. So that presents problems. Anyway, and then lastly here, this is Hal's diagram. This is actually from the website. And he has slightly different versions, but this is one that kind of speaks to Galatians. So basically he shows, you know, what I like about this, and some people, you know, he has walk, we have this switch here, some people have kind of, maybe they say, well, I kind of have a problem with that switch. But I look at the switch as a faith response. Am I exercising faith in the Spirit of God to direct my life by faith, and I'll have the fruits of the Spirit, or am I by faith exercising in my sinful nature? So some people kind of are, you know, the walk, or I put faith, sometimes I put faith up in place of a walk up there. But anyway, in this context, it's kind of good, because we've been talking about walking, and this is a conditional thing. A conditional thing is going on in the believer's life, and what I like is the fact that the desires are there. The sinful desires are coming at us, and desire from our Savior. The desires are there. The good desires and the desires that are not good. They're with us all the time. But how will we carry out those? Will we allow those desires to wind up being sin and go the sinful nature, or will they be directed by the Spirit of God? So, and it'll be the fruits of the Spirit, the works of the flesh. So we're actually going to see that as we go on here. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, in that picture, you know, the world and Satan is just that little thing, but in my mind, the world and Satan comes in.
Oh, it does.
Every direction.
I know.
Constantly.
And it's always bombarding us. It's always coming at us. You say, oh, and you know, in this day and age, we get, you know, you can't be away from the world for an instant. You know, everything, you know, news is with you all the time. I mean, you know, in a way, our wonderful, and I love all the modern things, but in a way, that just brings the sinfulness of this world system right to our door 24/7. It's just right in our face all the time. And it's, to me, that seems a negative for the believer. It would be nice if you could, you know, not have that. But, you know, we have all these, you know, things that people have invented, and maybe, you know, you could argue that, you know, they're used for good and used for bad, as anything can be.
Roger.
Yeah.
You could also have truth and deception.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one side, you have God's Word.
Right.
And what we know is right. And even instinctively, we know certain things are right and wrong and verified by the Word of mm-hmm. God. Then on the other side, you have all the worldly deceptions that have been created that are attacking us from the other side. So here we are, you know, looking at discernment,
mm-hmm.
one of the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
And so you're saying, oh, is this truth or is this deception? And if it's deception, then you shouldn't be following it. You shouldn't be listening to it. Say, close your ears, I guess, and you don't go that way. You know, but if it's truth, then you say, okay, this is good, so I can go that mm-hmm. way. You know, and like Donna's saying, this changes as the world and culture grows and becomes mm-hmm. more complex, and there's more and more people. The deception becomes more perversive and sometimes even subversive, and it's really hard to discern it from the truth. But we got the truth and the deception, and the truth mm-hmm. and the deception, and that switch is just going back and forth mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's good to go to church and have Sunday school class and study the Word of God. So it helps you discern the truth from deception. Christ said to Pilate, what is truth?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and he was standing right there. You know, obviously the guy either knew it or he didn't know it. We don't know.
Yep.
But, you know, so it's truth and deception, and we're deceived every day.
Yep.
Hundreds of times.
So, you know, I think it's important for us to see that there is this battle, and to, as we recognize there is a battle, then I think that arms us, if you will, that arms us saying, hey, there is a struggle, there is a battle. And also is to realize, I'm not going to, by any personal resolve, you know, I'm gonna read more scripture, I'm gonna, you know, whatever, I'm gonna have my list, or whatever. It's only by faith. Faith saved us, and faith is to be the method by which we live the Christian life. Faith in what Christ has done for us. And our focus is on that. So faith will carry us through this Christian life as we focus on the Lord and will prevent us from going down the path of the flesh. That's going to happen, but it, you know, the desire is that we minimize that. You know, and I've seen some charts where I kind of like you know, you would hope over time you would choose the path by faith of walking with the Spirit of God. You hope over time, and that would be a more frequent occurrence. You would hope that's the case. Now, sometimes I also realize, and I think others mentioned this, as you become more in tune with what God wants for you, you realize the subtleties, and you realize how subtle the flesh is, and how you subtly, I can't remember, have given into the flesh. Maybe just subtly. And so you realize there's that well is even deeper than you thought. You think, oh, it's only a few over here in the flesh. No, there's a bunch more. And as you walk more forward and you see more of that. So I find that I can get discouraged sometimes about that, saying, look at all those other things that there's all those other things that I do. Why do I, you know, I don't want to go there. I want to walk by the Spirit. So, but that battle is there, and it's going to be there until we go to be with the Lord. So we should know that. We're armed with that fact. And we trust that as we walk with Him in simple faith that we will please Him, and there'll be the fruits of the Spirit. Anyway, great participation. it's a wonderful subject. It's a wonderful subject. Okay, well, let's close. We thank You, Father. We thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for the blessings we have in the Savior, Lord. Thank You that we can walk by faith in what You've accomplished for us, and we can look to You in every situation, moment by moment, And that You desire that we do that, and we desire that we bring forth fruit that is pleasing to You. In Christ's name, amen.